Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Perkovich, and this is episode number 600. Releasing April 18 in Australian cinemas is Freud's Last Session, a drama based on the acclaimed play that centres on a fictionalised meeting between psychologist Sigmund Freud and Christian apologist C.S. Lewis. Starring Anthony Hopkins and Matthew Good, Freud's Last Session delves into heavy themes of God's existence and mortality in an intellectually and visually engrossing film that will stir the mind and the soul. And joining me now is the director of Freud's Last Session, Mr. Matthew Brown. Matt, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's really interesting when a director and a writer-director on that kind of has to adapt another source material, especially a play. Because the play comes with its own kind of restrictions and confines. When you get the chance to tackle Mark St. Germain's play, what is it that you first look at in regards to adapting it into the cinematic medium? Are you thinking about production design? Are you thinking about how the conversation between these two characters will flow on the screen as opposed to a stage? What is it that you kind of delve into first?
Well, I think the first thing for me is just to see if I'm really pulled into the themes of it and then think if I can really imagine spending the amount of time and energy that goes into making a film into that material. So I'm sort of thinking about it on lots of different levels. I did another film, The Man Who Knew Infinity, which also had, it was dealing with some pretty esoteric mathematics. Two men in a room. So that had its own sort of challenges and confines, but I wanted to do more visually on that film than I was able to do given our budget limitations and everything. So when I saw this material, I thought it was an opportunity to not only delve into themes that I'm particularly drawn to for various personal reasons, but also to kind of take it a step further visually with it in the form of the flashbacks or dream sequences that would allow us to escape the confines of the Freud's office, basically. So it was something that I was thinking about quite a bit as I was working with Mark on developing the script and just thinking, and then also working with Anthony Hopkins, we talked a lot about the dream aspects of the film and wanting to lean into that. So it had a lot of appeal for me.
I read that the current issue of tribalism just in political social circles, when it comes to any type of debates or things, people are just really encrusted in their positions, is something that really spoke to you with this film, in that here you have two giants from two different kind of like philosophical spiritual worldviews, yet when they come together, it's robust debate, but it's respectable debate. And I think that's something that's kind of like missing today. And I think it's been quite, you know, bad over the last maybe 20 years or so. I think post 9/11, there's definitely been a sort of kind of like a downshift in the way people debate each other. It's like yeah, sniping and such. Is the hope that in presenting how these two men, who, you know, by all rights can be very much, you know, stiff in their opposition to one another, but their intellectual curiosity kind of allows them to be open to hearing other person's suggestions. And that should be something that a lot of people, whether it be the keyboard warrior on social media to the professor in a university, should adapt more often in today's day and age.
I mean, that's really one of the things that drew me to this in the beginning, was just that at the time, I mean, when this first came to me, like, I guess it was like 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, I felt the world was just so polarized, and things were so difficult to have a conversation. And you know, now we cut to today, and it's just insane. You know, people's positions, nobody listens anymore. And I feel like, you know, listening is one of the hardest things to do naturally for all of us, but it's one of the most important things to do because we learn, we grow. You know, it's the human species is kind of dependent on growth and learning, and we're all just so dug into our positions, it's impossible. So what I loved about these two characters was that they were respectful people and also intellectually curious, as you brought up. My father's a psychiatrist, and he said to me, one of the things he loved about Freud the most was that he was somebody that constantly challenged his own views He would never get hung up on them. So that while probably understandably and rightfully, when people think about Freud today, they think he's kind of passé, or his thoughts and his ideologies were stuck in the past. The thing we have to remember is, if he was alive today, he would have probably thrown out all of those, and he would have been onto new ideas and been, he was always challenging himself and always intellectually curious. And I think it's something that today we as a society, we're not in the way that we need to be, because there's good things on both sides, and or on all sides. It shouldn't even just be two sides, but in my country here in America, it's particularly, one way of thinking, and then there's another, and then the two don't meet, and it's sad.
Oh,
So.
trust me, here in Australia, it's becoming like that as well. I think it's just that thing where, unfortunately, where the internet is such a great thing here we are, you and I talking to each other on opposite end of the world. I think also when it comes to conversation online, especially when you throw anonymity in there as well, it kind of like messes up that kind of like the certain physical presence that's needed, I think, for people to see eye to eye and share a space with each other to be able to be really respectful of one another as well, which is interesting because here we are, these two people in this in Freud's study, and I think it's really great that we can see a movie where two people are talking in one room, and of course there's the flashbacks and other things as well, but
Yeah.
the conversation itself is centered in that one place there, and I think that's
It
great.
is. And hopefully you can kind of come to a place where you can understand how they got to the place they got to in terms of their own thinking. And that was the point of it. But that in the end, these two men, that while they don't agree with one another, you can feel at the end that they're sort of sad to leave one another, because they've grown to have a respect and a fondness for one another. Which is something that I think is kind of beautiful and lacking as well, so in the world today. So, yeah, it was funny, because you get caught up in the creative process and making your film, and you forget about, oh, I've got this little ticking time bomb here, which is that we're talking about God and debating it, and eventually, it'll open up to all the people online and everything else. But I think the intention comes through, hopefully, with the film.
Please support Matt's movie reviews on Patreon. Get access to exclusive content, request movie reviews and top 10 lists, and help support my work. Please click on the Patreon link in the description below. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by TeePublic. TeePublic is the world's largest marketplace for independent creators to sell their work on the highest quality merchandise. With over 1.2 million designs, TeePublic is sure to have something you will love. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Amazon. The world's leading online store, Amazon is your first stop to buy a wide range of products at competitive prices with fast delivery times. Amazon is also a world-class entertainment hub that includes Prime Video, Audible, Twitch, Amazon Music, and more. Sign up with Amazon today and experience the best in online shopping and entertainment. You mentioned before you're a son of a psychiatrist, and Freud was like a figure. Your father spoke about him with you when you were younger growing up. I'm curious though, when was the first time you heard of C.S. Lewis? Do you remember the first time you came across his writings or his kind of name in any way?
I mean, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I mean, The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. I mean, it's I read Prince Caspian. I never knew about Lewis's religious. I just knew his writings, and I didn't, it wasn't until this film came around that I sort of delved into his own writings and some autobiographical writing, and learning more about how he came to his way of thinking. I mean, it's really fascinating, because he was a pretty strident atheist who, came about and then found God and his way of thinking. But I think that came out of intellectual curiosity too, which is actually kind of interesting when you think about how he goes about having his moment of transformation in the film. It's not like a lightning bolt. It's very sort of analytical in a sense. He's really examining it, the reality in his mind of that Christ actually walked the earth and that could be the Son of God. So yeah, it's interesting. He's a very, very, very interesting fellow.
He is. I'm currently reading Lion in the Witch and the Wardrobe to my 8-year-old, and
Oh,
I've
wonderful.
also got in my library back here. I've got both Mere Christianity and the Screwtape Letters from Mum C.S. Lewis. So he's a figure in our house who's like lately, especially, has been a bit of some prominence lately. Anyway, for all of us, Anthony Hopkins as Sigmund Freud. So it's a fantastic performance, and what I find so amazing about Anthony Hopkins as an actor is that here he is, he's what, 86, 87 years old, and he's still incredible in the way that he's in performances. Some actors, they kind of reach a certain status, a certain age, and it seems to be a drifting away, maybe. But he with him, it seems like he's getting better with age, like a fine wine. He only just won his second Oscar, like what,
Yeah,
four years ago, right? Here
he's
we got another
incredible.
great actor. So what was it like working with him on this movie, especially with this character? Because I imagine this is the type of character that he would love to kind of dig into
I
and
think
get his
he
hands
really
on.
loved it. I mean, I don't mean because of anything, towards me. I think he loved the idea of having the opportunity to draw on his entire life for this film. I mean, he was alive during World War II, and he has memories from that. And he spent time after the war and had memories then that he drew on with this. And he's incredibly creatively generous. So it was extraordinary. It was like he lifted up a curtain on his whole life, and drew from all of that and brought it to the character of Freud. So, and I think he's examining his own mortality at this point and questioning everything and I think it was something that we really kind of delved into this. You can look at different points of Freud's life. You could tell lots of different versions of his life in different ways, but this was the version where it's about a couple weeks away from when he actually dies and he knows he's going to die. And it's a film for me where I wanted it to feel like maybe at some point you forget that it's C.S. Lewis and you forget that it's Freud and it's that we're all having to examine our own mortality. And this is what it looks like a little bit with somebody who's intellectually curious and he wants to know what this other person knows, and does he know something I don't know? I should know. And it's but we don't know what's coming next. That's the beauty.
Speaking of, does he know something that I don't know? It's interesting that Anthony Hopkins previously played C.S. Lewis in Shadowlands back off. He was like what, 30, 40 years ago or so. Does that conversation come up whatsoever with Matthew and in Anthony in
It
regards
did,
to
and
him playing the same character?
it did, and in fact, he wore the sweater. The sweater he was wearing, I think, was an homage to Hopkins's character in
Okay.
the other film. And it did come up, and they talked about it actually, and his approach to playing C.S. Lewis. So that was something that did come up, and Hopkins was very generous and talked openly about it, and really kind of gave Matthew the freedom to feel like he could explore his own route with that. I couldn't have asked for two more wonderful actors to work with, honestly, on this film, not just because they're so immensely talented, but just in order to be able to pull off the amount of dialogue and the scenes that we had in this, short schedule, you needed people that were going to be very generous and kind, frankly. So, it was a pretty amazing working environment.
Speaking of that working environment, when you're dealing with themes as heavy as God's existence, mortality, I'm sure because the movie's set before World War II, the maybe even the notion of the notion of evil and how that kind of works within God's creation and such. Do those kind of conversations come up behind the scenes, in between takes? Do people actually like talk about that kind of stuff and think, essentially my character said this because I feel the same way, or I quite don't quite agree, any
Well,
type of debates off screen?
it did come up, but it was pre-shooting. I like to really work everything out ahead of time with the actors so that we don't have conversations on set, where we're questioning or wondering. We should have, I try to do that ahead of time. We spent a lot of time, a real lot of time, individually, Hopkins and myself and Matthew and myself, having conversations. And I think they might have talked a little bit themselves, but most of those conversations happened ahead of time. And yes, they did happen for sure. They both brought a lot of themselves to it. I mean, it's interesting because there's a challenge. I mean, Matthew Good is so smart and so fast and reactive, and he's just smart as a whip. And it's a question of getting him in this film to kind of just slow it all down and just be present. And really, and he what he drew from that was the respectfulness that C.S. Lewis would have had towards somebody else, especially somebody who's dying and of the stature of Freud. You know, he's not going to be arguing back and yelling in his face in a way that would be immature or disrespectful. So it really forced us as the audience to really watch all those emotions through Matthew's performance in a very much more subtle, quiet way, but they're all there. You can see it. You know, you can see the things he would have wanted to say back at different times. And but that takes a little patience from everybody, including the viewer, but it's there. So it was a choice.
So for everyone out there listening, April 16 in Australian cinemas, Freud's Last Session. I highly, highly recommend people watch this film in cinemas. The
Yeah,
production
I
design's
agree.
beautiful, the cinematography. We need movies like this where there's a intellectually stimulating, spiritually stimulating stories being told on the big screen. It can't just be all CGI robots and superheroes. We need to have these other giants of
Bless you.
history presenting themselves. And Matt Brown, I thank you so very much for your time today. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we could talk again in the future. It's always good to talk to another Matt. So
You too. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it and hope people do get to see it on the big screen because it really is different that way. It's a different experience, and I hope so. Thank you.